Support for 89.7 NPR News comes from the James at Ohio State, providing access to the most advanced cancer treatments available from a team specialized in treating just one type of cancer, yours. Learn more at cancer.osu.edu/choosethejames.
Welcome to All Sides with Amy Jurevich. Despite advances made by women and minorities, there are still some professions that are viewed as the domain of men. One such profession is financial advising and wealth management. Attracting new people and demystifying a profession dealing with people's personal finances was one of the motivating factors in the creation of the Financial Planning Community Project. Not only does the project teach financial literacy, but it also offers free financial advice to college students. Maddie Keegan is a partner, COO, and financial advisor for Fraser Financial Advisors here in Columbus. Her interest in supporting the cause of financial literacy led to the creation of the Financial Planning Community Project. Welcome to All Sides, Maddie.
Thanks for having me.
So how did you initially describe the Financial Planning Community Project to your former professors whenever you wanted to get it started?
So, and I should give full credit here, the professors that I worked with from Ohio State, Franklin and Columbus State, had some vision for wanting to do something. And so they really were the ones that spurred the idea of doing something around it. And I really came in with the connections to the community through financial planners and firms that I've been connected with in my mm-hmm. profession to say, you know, here's who we can recruit, here's who can be involved, here's who can provide the resources to give free advice to those students at mm-hmm. all three of those colleges. So it was definitely like a joint effort of they got the funding and they were the kind of the brainchild for it. But I had a lot of the connections in the community and had a passion for bringing financial literacy to people in Central Ohio, at least.
What need did you see among college students whenever it came to financial planning or even using the word, I guess, even the beginning of financial planning?
A couple of things. I think from students wanting to enter the profession, a lot of times they don't get the actual hands-on experience to see what it's like. And so I felt like this was the perfect opportunity to give them that. They can sit in a meeting with the financial planner, see how it actually happens, see what types of questions are asked, and see what their career would look like if they decided to get into financial planning as a profession. It's a really, really great, great career, and a lot of people don't know that. And so I felt like they could benefit from that. And then, you know, the students themselves that were getting the advice would get free advice that they couldn't otherwise get access to. A lot of financial planning firms, which, you know, understandably so, have certain minimums and they don't work with certain people. And so if it's not like a required class to have financial literacy, you're never gonna get that until you're a little bit older and maybe it's a little bit too late. So I felt like it was giving these kids the opportunity to get free advice and students that may want to go into the profession a real sense of what the profession was so they could decide. And it's, I know the program has grown even just as we started it 5 years ago. So I think it's working.
So yeah, for lack of a better metaphor, it's like two birds, one stone. So you have these people who want to be financial planners. They think, you know, when you go major for something in college, you're not sure, but you think.
Right.
And then you have a bunch of students who need financial advice. So you kind of put two and two together.
Yeah. And I would even say there's a third win, which is the firms that we were, you know, partnering with here in Central Ohio, they're ultimately going to need, new employees. And so them getting to connect with the students that are thinking about becoming financial planners, we've had some that had been hired for internships and jobs. So it's connecting those employers as well, which is great.
How did you get this project funded? Because I have to imagine that bringing in professional financial planners to teach and also give advice would cost some money.
So really the logistics, and by the way, all the financial planners here locally that give their time to this, mm-hmm. total volunteers, they do not get paid anything. So
okay, so like a
really
pro bono.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah,
okay.
For sure. But the program itself was funded. So the three professors that I mentioned mm-hmm. had worked with TD Ameritrade at the time, it's now Charles Schwab, but large institutions that we work with in our profession had shared their ideas about what this was going to look like. And then, of course, once I came in and was able to kind of put a pen to paper on how we were actually going to execute on that, they were able to give us funding. And then every year that we've been doing it, we continue to provide updates. We've written papers about how to create a financial planning project like this and have continued to get funding every year. So it's really just been an effort to to kind of share with those large institutions that are great partners of ours to get the funding to actually run the program. So to have the people that are scheduling the meetings, working with the professors. So like myself when I was a program manager, some of the student assistants, that type of thing, to keep it running.
So the students who sit in with the financial planners to learn financial planning, I'm guessing they're majoring in finance or something like that, right?
Yes, yeah. Exactly.
But the students who are getting the advice, can they come from any part of the college?
Yeah, they
anywhere?
Can come from, yep. So any three of the colleges, Ohio State, Franklin, or Columbus State, as long as they're a student, mm-hmm. they can access this program. Doesn't have to be in finance.
Do you have to prove that you don't know what you're doing?
There's kind of like an online form to complete to register. Mm-hmm. It's been up to this point very grassroots in terms of the professors that are involved with the program have just kind of told their colleagues in colleges around their respective colleges and universities to get the word out. So there's not this like formal landing mm-hmm. page to go to.
Yeah.
But I would say that any student at any three of those schools should connect with any of their professors to see if they can get connected to it. Because at least at this point, I think most of the colleges and professors are aware that the program exists.
It's like, are you drowning in credit card debt? Do I have the program for you?
Exactly.
This is All Sides on 89.7 NPR News. We're talking about how the Financial Planning Community Project is helping students learn about financial planning with Maddie Keegan, partner, COO, and financial advisor with Fraser Financial Advisors. So a semester of financial literacy is now mandatory for all Ohio high school students. That was added. What do you think is the most important thing for a high school student to learn about financial planning?
I think really the basics, and I'll kind of get into what I mean by that. I think when you start to get into like financial advising, you want to think about all these like, I don't know, sophisticated or like sexy topics, and really
stock market trading, right?
Yeah, yes. Exactly. Yeah. And it really starts with the basics. So, I mean, even something as simple as, you know, whenever you work a job and you start to make an income, you know, you get a pay stub, there are taxes taken out. So I think starting with like the very basics of mm-hmm. when money is coming in, what are all the things that impact that? To live a life, you have living expenses. So I know it sounds very simple, but kind of the very basics of money in, money out. And then that's when you start to get, you know, once you've kind of mastered the, okay, I can understand a little bit about when I'm making money and when I'm spending, if there's extra there, then you can start thinking about how do I allocate that differently. The longer you have, of course, the better, if you start saving, like the mm-hmm. better it is for you.
Yeah.
But it always starts with the simplest things, the not super exciting things, which is really understanding your cash flow and then deciding how to start putting things in places that need to go.
When do you need to start teaching a teenager about compounded interest?
Oh, goodness.
Yeah.
Pre-teenager.
Right. I know.
As early
yeah.
as possible.
How would you? Yeah. Well, explain it in a way that you would explain it to someone who is having trouble with debt.
So I think I would say, you know, when you really what we're trying to do is get you to a place where you have financial independence and freedom, and this debt, you know, and I know it's arguable if it's like college debt, there are some reasons why you might want to do it, but this can really hinder your ability to get to that place in your life where you can have freedom and peace of mind. And so even starting with a few dollars, like think about it as, you know, this is a Starbucks drink or this is mm-hmm. A small thing that you would buy for yourself. If you can put that away into, you know, to start a savings account, mm-hmm. just so you have some emergency funds available. But that little amount will compound and turn into a lot more over time. So thinking about it as, you know, a little incremental step at a time to get to that kind of snowball of financial independence.
Yeah. I would think that most students who probably participated in this program were worried about student debt coming out of college because that's, yeah. you know, college costs a lot of money.
Yeah.
But then also credit card debt, because I feel like I don't know if a lot of students have credit cards. I know that they, you know, that any campus event, there's people trying to like
yeah.
get students to open a credit card. Because, you know, I guess, do you not need your parents if you're above 18 to get a credit card? Is that right?
Yeah. Some mm-hmm. of them won't approve you if you don't have like a little bit of a history, credit history. And there are things that go into that. But yeah, mm-hmm. you can if you're 18 as an adult, you can go get a credit card. And they don't teach you the negative consequences when they're trying to get you to Open the credit card.
Yeah. So talk to me about whenever you were working with the Financial Planning Community Project and kids would sit down and talk about their debt, whether it be, I guess it's two different conversations, student loan debt and credit card debt. What would you try to tell them?
Sure. The way I think about it, I know people kind of differ on this, but I like to think about, you know, good debt and bad debt. And usually that comes into what the interest rate is. And that's kind of the cost of taking that debt. So we would tell students, you know, credit cards tend to be high interest. There are some where you can get promotional, you know, at 0%. But then if you don't have it all paid off, then that interest starts accruing. And that can be anywhere between, you know, 10 to 30% even. Mm-hmm. And so then you don't realize when you're making that monthly payment that's required, you're not even scratching the surface with getting some of the dollars that you took out paid off. You're really only paying into the interest and maybe not even the entire interest balance. So I think we did a good job of explaining, you know, what high interest debt looks like, i.e. credit cards, and then what that would look like if you are paying the minimum payment over a year, a couple of years, how little that actually impacts getting that, that credit card paid off. And that compared to something like a student loan, well, you know, interest rates have changed over the last few years, but it's, you know, anywhere in the last few years between, I'd say, 4 to 7 or 8%. That's a very different picture. It's also arguably, you know, put towards something like school, which could be, you know, a value to them in the future. So it's a little bit different if you're looking at, okay, what are you putting on those credit cards? Where is your spending actually happening? What type of spending are you actually doing on the credit card? And if it's not an absolute need, you know, it's discretionary, like, you know, should rethink that probably.
Did you find some students talking to you about maybe a senior who was getting their first job and realized that they'd have to start paying these loans? Maybe they had a credit card and just trying to figure out life. Did you have a lot of seniors coming to you?
So I just led the project, but yeah, all the advisors that I worked with that had shared their experiences and seeing all the intake forms and what that looked like. Yeah, we did. We certainly had seniors. We also had students that were in like graduate school or that kind of already worked a little bit, and they were kind of just trying to figure out some of those things, like how to navigate life, where to start with saving, how to start, you know, balancing saving versus paying off loans. And there is kind of a nature where they need to be done simultaneously. So kind of balancing all that. We did get some of that for sure.
And you mentioned the program had been growing. Do you have numbers on how many students you've helped?
Yeah, I do actually. So we've had 68 advisors. This is over the last 5 years. 68 advisors. We've had 45 firms that have participated. And we've had 378 students so far. And the program is still running. And it's funded, at least as far as I know, for another couple of years. So we plan to see more of that. And the program, the financial planning program, I just heard from Dr. Loybol, the professor there, that over 90 students are in that class, which is more than she's had in any of the foundations of financial planning class.
People are interested in going into the profession.
That's right.
All right. Yeah. All right. So speaking of the profession, compared to their white counterparts, minorities are at a cultural disadvantage when it comes to inherited wealth. And as I mentioned at the beginning, the financial planning is not a career that a lot of women or minorities go into. So do you feel like there's been a concentrated effort to recruit minority students for this project?
You know, every firm and advisor I've talked to recognizes that it's a challenge, and trying to find the right way to do that that's not superficial, right? We all really want to see those numbers increase. Like, what's the right way? And I mean, a lot of that is like representation. So finding people, getting things like these programs out there so that it's seen as a really attractive profession for anybody. And hopefully that will help encourage. I think, you know, I've done a little bit of work with trying to co-teach certain classes just from like the women's perspective. If people can see that I'm doing it, maybe they'll ask more questions about the profession, because it has been seen as
a boys club
for for years. And it's still, I think there's now maybe 30% CFP, certified financial planners, that are women. So it's increasing, but it's still not proportionate. But getting out there and being able to talk about how great the profession is, is kind of at least what I've been trying to do. But my point is, I do think that everyone recognizes it. It's just finding the right way to increase those numbers.
So you helped, you led the project, you supervised, you helped create it. Are you still involved now?
I'm not directly involved. I'm certainly still here as a resource if questions come up. So I've been, you know, asked, a couple questions and things like that with a new program manager. But I do try to stay involved by co-teaching a class if I can every semester. Mm-hmm. I am very involved in the Financial Planning Association, which we have kind of a student group there that I talk to, a mentor. So very involved, but not so much directly with the program anymore.
We've been talking with Maddie Keegan, partner COO and financial advisor for Fraser Financial Advisors here in Columbus. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
And coming up, we're going to talk with an alum of the Financial Planning Community Project whose time in the program did lead to a career in finance. That's when All Sides continues on 89.7 NPR News.
Rare to find a podcast that can actually change your life. But when the show's called Life Kit, that's kind of the whole point. I'm Mariel Segarra. 3 times a week on the Life Kit podcast, we guide you through a topic we could all use help with, from personal development to healthy living to managing your dinero, with takeaways so you can start living what you learn right away. Escucha el Life Kit podcast from NPR.
You're listening to All Sides. I'm your host, Amy Jurevich. Many people's first experience with personal finance begins in childhood, a weekly allowance transitioning into pay for babysitting, mowing lawns, or a part-time job. Once a student leaves high school for further education or the world of work, their responsibility for their personal finances increases. Students studying finance at Ohio State, Columbus State, and Franklin University can improve their knowledge of personal finance by participating in the Financial Planning Community Project. Joining us now is Joel Potts, an Ohio State graduate who's an alum of the Financial Community Planning Project. He's now an associate financial advisor for Hamilton Capital. Welcome to All Sides, Joel.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
So on a scale of 1 to 10, how would you rate your financial literacy whenever you were entering in college? I mean, you decided to go into finance, but how was your financial literacy?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I think I had a little bit of an unfair head start just because I kind of knew I wanted to be a financial planner in the future. So I really did work a lot to just really give myself the ability to set myself up well for my college courses. But I would say that there were obviously so many areas that I had gaps in. And fortunately, through college, I was able to learn a lot. So I'd probably put myself at a 7 or 8, just knowing that there's just so much that I learned being in the real world now for a couple of years.
Where would you rate some of your, you know, friends and colleagues in going into college? Would you say that most people coming out of high school going into college maybe don't have a financial plan?
Yes, I would say that for those that aren't necessarily entering the world of finance or econ or business or anything like that, definitely haven't really had the time to think about what finances mean to them and what that means for their life going forward. So I definitely would agree that the average high school student coming out is at a pretty severe disadvantage, just knowing that there's so much that we know and so many important things to know about your personal finances. And I really don't think that usually the average student does have a lot of that knowledge.
So what made you decide to major in finance at Ohio State?
Yeah, it's a good question. Through high school, I took some economics classes. So I was really interested kind of in econ and finance as a whole. I've always liked math. And then I pretty much figured out in high school that financial advising is something I wanted to pursue. So I was fortunate going into school that I knew kind of the direction I wanted to go. So that's really what made the decision for me to be in the finance major was I knew I wanted to be a financial planner. I wanted to have the opportunity to help people, to really just serve well, because I think finances are such a huge part of each of our lives and really important to our success. So I just wanted to be able to help people in that way, and really it made the major decision easy for me.
Now, while you were in college, you learned about the Financial Community Planning Project. How did that come into your radar?
Yeah, so I was involved in the financial planning minor that Ohio State offers. And through one of the classes, the community project was actually a requirement for each of us to be on the intake side. So that we worked with the advisor, and then the two of us had a virtual meeting with the other students that were looking for financial advice. So it was a part of the class in that it was a requirement that we completed two of these sessions as the student working with the advisor to present a plan for the students asking for help. So that was how I first learned about the project. And before that, I hadn't heard of it, but I was really grateful that it was part of this class.
This is All Sides on 89.7 NPR News. We're talking with Joel Potts, an alum of the Financial Planning Community Project, whose time in the program led to a career in finance as an associate financial advisor for Hamilton Capital. So how did taking part in the project impact your outlook on, you know, financial planning? I mean, it became your career. So did it make you feel like this is important?
Yeah, it absolutely reinforced just kind of that I knew what I wanted to do. I think it's really hard when you get into college, you have a major and you have an idea of what you want to do. But without the real world experience, sometimes people can get into something that isn't quite what they thought it might be. So I think being able to work with advisors and learn from them in the sense of serving other students as well was really reinforcing to me that this is exactly what I want to do. I really care for people, and I just care about helping to bring that area of someone's life together. So I think for me, it was really huge. Obviously, there weren't a ton of sessions that we participated in, but just the few that we had really reinforced that, yes, this is a great decision. This is everything that I thought it would be in a career.
So when the students would come to you and they would say, I need financial advice, you basically you had someone supervising you, but you were like taking down their information. What were some of the things? I mean, you're not going to name a specific name and a person, but like what in general, what were people needing help with?
Yeah, I think the two biggest things probably for most college students are budgeting and debt. So it's either credit card debt or student loans, obviously, are a huge one. So those were kind of the two common things. They were nearing graduation. They knew what their income might be, but they might have 50 to 100,000 of student loans. They wanted to figure out how in the world do they balance that in the budget that they have to have for everything else that they care about in life. So I think those were really the big areas that I saw just over and over again were with just trying to do it yourself, it's really difficult. So it was really great that they were able to find us and receive some of this advice.
So what are you able to tell them if someone has $50,000 of debt and they just spent 4 years in a major and they realize what their like income's going to be in their first job? What do you tell them about how to balance that?
It's a great question. Obviously, I think it really goes back to what their priorities are, is one of the biggest things. But starting out from college with a base salary, and just obviously that might be one of the lower salaries someone has for their entire career with what they're starting, it is challenging trying to find a bucket for every dollar that they might make. So I think that's where the budget is really important, to understand what's important to them. So we really asked about that. What are some of their monthly expenses that are non-negotiables? Then what are some of those expenses that are more wants-based that they recognize themselves? They could maybe cut back here and there with some of their expenses. And then obviously you look at how much is left over, and savings is still important, obviously, and investing, even while having debt to pay back. So it really all came down for a lot of these students to how much are they bringing in, what's really important for them to spend their money on, and then with what's left, let's look at making these loan payments and potentially even putting more money towards the loans than even the minimum payment. And mm-hmm. I think that's a big thing with credit cards, too. Some people don't know that just paying off the minimum balance on a credit card doesn't pay off the card. So I think it was really just realigning some expectations on what these loans are and what this debt looks like. It was really a great place to start.
from this financial community planning project, were you basically giving advice, or were you would you be able to help them actually restructure their financial loan, or could you just recommend that maybe they need to like refinance?
Yes. So yeah. it was mostly just the advisor and we were working together to really collect information through the first meeting with the student. And then we would be able to just send back some advice. We weren't making any recommendations per se as much as we were just offering free advice. Mm-hmm. So we weren't going out and restructuring any loans or anything like that. But we were able to help steer them in the right direction. And we sent them a follow-up of everything that we heard and just some steps, some very actionable steps they could take in the meantime to work on everything that we talked about. And then they were also offered the opportunity to connect with the advisor again if they had any questions on what we discussed or what they can really do to set themselves up going forward.
Did you feel weird as a student talking to another student about their wants versus their needs and spending their money? I mean, talking about money is a very personal thing.
Yeah, I think it is. It is really difficult, especially when I was there as a sophomore myself and I was talking to seniors sometimes who had job offers and there I was just a student. So I think there's a little bit of that imposter syndrome that I think a lot of people go through. But it was recognizing that those of us that were in the class, we still knew a lot. Obviously, we don't have the credentials and the experience of some of the advisors we were working with, but there were great ways that we were able to help out these students. And they also sought us out a lot. So I think that helped too, is that we knew that they were coming in and they had questions. They wanted help and they were taking great steps to get that help. So I think that was just really reassuring that I wasn't just blindly offering advice to another student, but no, this was a person who was really seeking out help so that they wanted to listen and they wanted to learn and grow more, which I think is a really great thing for each of those people that were a part of the project. And I was really glad to have the opportunity.
Did you find that people who were a part of the project maybe didn't have as much help from their parents as kids maybe who didn't show up at the project? Did they feel on their own and they had to figure this out for the first time?
I think there's a little bit of that. I think we hear a lot too, just from a lot of people who went through high school, that, oh, it was really great that I learned how to calculate the area of a triangle instead of how to pay bills or how to write out a check. So I think there is a lot of that that isn't necessarily covered in high school, at least where I grew up. And it's difficult for parents too. Some parents might not even necessarily know everything and they're still trying to make it on their own. So I think there is just a general lack of knowledge sometimes. And I was just grateful that a lot of these students recognized that and they really wanted to start off their professional careers in a manner that they were making the right decisions and that they were confident in what they were doing. So I wouldn't necessarily put it on the parents or the school. I think just in general, there's a pretty big gap when you graduate from high school. There's some people that know a lot and there's some that don't. And I think that there's definitely ways that we can really help to give people what they need.
When people think of financial planning, mostly they probably think of retirement or worrying about how to move their money from a 401k to a 403b and what, you know, all of these numbers and everything like that, and where to, which stocks to invest in, should I even bother investing in stocks, you know. But for this program you were not talking about retirement plans or stock market investments. I mean, you were talking at the granular level of like, how much do you spend in a week, right?
Yeah, I think that's really where it started. Is there was everything really comes down to probably a budget and what loans. And I think that's kind of where it started with most students. But then they did follow up with, oh, I've heard of investing. Mm-hmm. And what does that look like for me? Can I afford that? Is that important? So it was definitely important for us to realign too. We didn't want everyone we were speaking with to just think that, oh, if they live within their budget and they pay off the loan, that they're set. Because that's not the reality. The reality is that retirement is something that probably most people want someday. So we definitely did offer that as well, just some different ways that they could start to save and to invest. And obviously less capacity to do so when people have loans or credit card debt. But it was definitely something when they asked, what should we think about? What should we be worried about? What should we prioritize? That's definitely one of the most important things towards financial freedom as well.
Did it feel weird if you were like 20 years old and you're talking to a 22-year-old senior and you were like, you really should, you know, meet the match if your employer offers a contribution to the retirement? You know, you should match it, right?
Yes. Yeah. And that's really where we still think it's really important to start. That 401k match is free money from your employer. So to at least...
Right. But to the 22-year-old, they would say, no, that's money out of my check that I need on a biweekly basis.
Exactly.
Right? I'm sure you heard that.
Yeah. So there were those concerns of, I don't know if I can afford to give up 5% of my income. And again, that's where it just really went down to what's important to you. Do you really want to just live your life in your 20s and 30s and really hit retirement hard when you're 40? You kind of set yourself behind a little bit if you do that. So we were just trying to give helpful advice. Obviously, that's up to people if they listen or not. But we just really cared for each person speaking with us. And it was difficult to, we really think you should do this. And I don't know if I can afford that. But it was just really sharing what's important. And then ultimately, each person decides for themselves what's important with their money.
Just to end on, you ended up becoming a financial advisor. You work for Hamilton Capital as a financial advisor. So are you giving advice to all ages? Like what? Tell me a little bit about your job right now.
Yeah. So in my role right now, I'm an associate. So I'm still learning. I'm currently studying to take the certified financial planner exam. So I'm in a place where our number one priority is putting clients first. And that's always been really important to me. I didn't want to be in a position where I might be selling products or earning a commission, as I really care for people. I want to put their interests first at all times. So that's what the CFP leads to, is fiduciary advice and always putting your clients' interests above your own. So I'm just continuing to work with multiple different advisors, gaining a lot of experience. I sit in on a lot of client meetings. I help in the background with just building out some of the financial plan and a lot of the meeting follow-up and taking notes. And it's just been a really great experience as we meet with, like you said, clients of all ages, all different life situations, all sorts of careers. So I've been able to learn a lot already in just a couple of years. And it has been really helpful to me because eventually I will be able to work more closely, but we work in a team, so there's always multiple of us working with clients. So right now it's been great for me to just be able to have the opportunities to learn and grow and to have client interactions.
We've been speaking with Joel Potts, an alum of the Financial Planning Community Project, whose time in the program led to a career in finance, and he's now an associate financial advisor for Hamilton Capital. Thank you for being with us, Joel.
Thank you so much for having me.
And coming up, we're going to talk about what's being taught in a semester-long financial literacy course that is required for all Ohio high school graduates. That's when All Sides continues on 89.7 NPR News.
Rare to find a podcast that can actually change your life. But when the show's called Life Kit, that's kind of the whole point. I'm Mariel Segarra. 3 times a week on the Life Kit podcast, we guide you through a topic we could all use help with, from personal development to healthy living to managing your dinero, with takeaways so you can start living what you learn right away. Escucha el Life Kit podcast from NPR.
You're listening to All Sides. I'm your host, Amy Jurevich. We're looking at financial literacy this hour. High school is when most students enter the workforce and earn their first paycheck. They move from babysitting and mowing lawns to having an actual part-time job with an hourly wage and taxes taken out for the first time. And to help these students manage their money properly, Ohio school students are required to pass a semester-long financial literacy course to graduate. Joining us now is Jason Savage, a teacher in business classes at Thomas Worthington High School. Welcome back to All Sides, Jason.
Thanks for having me.
So how do you define financial literacy for your students? I'm sure whenever they hear the words financial and literacy, they're like, what does that mean?
To put it in their terms, it's how do we play the game financially? How do we work our way through life? And if you ask my students, what is the course about? It's about building wealth. It's mine is how do we teach them the skills and strategies to take an income, to budget it properly, to invest it and turn it into wealth. So at some point in their life, they can retire. They can sooner rather than later have money saved for a down payment, things of that nature.
You've been teaching high school business courses for some time, so the world of work is constantly changing. Does that affect how you teach financial literacy? Do you have to constantly be changing your syllabus?
Yeah. There's all kinds of new things that are coming into play that affect students that we always have to be aware of. And a great thing about a course that we have is it is really jam-packed because we have a lot of things to do in a semester. But there is a little latitude to talk about some things that, students may face that may not have been as big a deal with when I was a student. For example, gambling. You talk about with sports gambling and things like that. They're so easy. So we talk about this at an early age that, they can have access to some of these apps and to show them like the brain chemistry to understand gambling and the negative financial impact, things like that. It's it's constantly changing, and it's really exciting to have the format. You've got classrooms full of 15, 16, 17, and 18 year olds that are just at the beginning of their financial life. And you could imagine if you were standing in front of them, how you'd want them to not make some of the mistakes you did, or maybe repeat some of the good things you did. So it's really a fun format. And I think students commonly give the feedback that it's one of their most their favorite classes, because they know whatever they do in life, they're going to need to know these skills.
Yes, I would tell them, when you get your first credit card in college, pay it off and don't screw up. That's what you're right.
Ditto. Yep. Whoops. Yep. Whoops. Similar experience.
Yeah. So the gambling thing, that's interesting, because I would think that even maybe 5 years ago, you wouldn't have necessarily had to teach them. But now we can gamble with our phone in our pocket and just have your credit card attached to it. And you can rack it up really quickly without even realizing it.
For sure. And it is very easy and a very slippery slope. And, part of marketing and business is helping buyers buy. Well, there probably aren't any better marketers than sports gambling sites and things like that these days. So, yes, that's something I've never been one to gamble or anything like that, but I was always interested in sports, and the thought of sports gambling when I was growing up never really even crossed my mind. And I hear kids all the time in the hallway, "Hey, my parlay almost hit," or so. And so,
oh, dear.
Yeah. So that was an opportunity that we had here to say, "Hey, there's the expression, you can't win the game in the first quarter, but you can lose it." We talk about getting in credit card debt when we're in college. You get in gambling debt as a teenager, that can be a real issue. So,
what questions do your students ask you about the most whenever you go over some of your topics? What do you get the most questions on?
They're really interested in the investment portion.
Really?
Yes. They want to know about stocks. You'd be amazed how many kids we do a stock market game where every kid gets $100,000 in virtual money, and students invest it in real stocks. They have real data and things like that, and they see how they do. And it even surprised me how interested they get in it. And, they'll ask me, "Hey, is this a good stock?" And this, I was like, I really love being here and I love what I do. But if I had a crystal ball for what the stock market was going to do tomorrow, I may be part-time, who knows, but
That's interesting because, you know, we were just saying, what would you go back and tell your high school self? And I guess I would go back and tell my high school self, instead of getting out that credit card in college, invest in Apple, right? There you go.
Yeah, amen. Amen. Yes, yes.
This is All Sides on 89.7 NPR News. We're talking about teaching financial literacy to high school students with Jason Savage, who teaches business classes at Thomas Worthington High School. Do you make a point to let juniors or seniors who are about to attend college or maybe they're heading into the workforce, do you make a point to explain to them that soon they're going to be responsible for their own finances, that their parents or guardian isn't going to be there every day?
For sure. It's one of the first things we do in this whole process, the whole course of creating wealth. You know, you need an income. They'll take a day and they'll examine their, you know, some potential careers that they might be interested in, which is interesting because, you know, I graduated from school in the early 90s and I never had one day where I even sat around and thought about what careers I went to. I was a business major at Ohio University and had never set foot at anything as other than a customer. So what do all those careers need? It's college. And then they'll break down. And that's really eye-opening. They go to some colleges that they're interested. They go to their websites and see what they cost. And then we talk about, well, what if you switch your major once or twice? You aren't, you know, I'm a 13th year teacher who's 52 years old. Sometimes it takes us a little while to figure out what we want to do with our lives. So if you're 19, 20 and you switch or 21, switch your majors a couple times, it just adds to the debt. So yeah, we do illustrate that for them so they can, hopefully they can do some studying and our business program exposes them to different types of business. So when they go to college, they, like kids who come out of our program, either know A, if they like business or not, and B, what specific part of business they like. Do they like accounting? Do they like personal finance? Do they like marketing? Or do they see themselves more in entrepreneurship? Mm-hmm. So yes, really important to tell them, try and get as much information, try to know ourselves as much as we can, because you're right. Once you go to college, you make a couple of switches here or there, and it extends that, you know, $30,000, $40,000 a year, whatever that tuition bill may be.
Mm. Earlier in the show, we were talking with Joel Potts, who works now as a financial advisor, and he helped with financial advice to other students in college. And he said, you know, he learned how to do the square root of a triangle in high school, but never learned how to pay his taxes. I mean, do you teach how to pay your taxes?
For sure. Yeah, that's what I'll tell. Now, what was great is before the state mandated that a financial literacy credit be required for graduation, our district Worthington has required it for as long as I've been here, because it as I said, it doesn't matter whether you're going to be CEO of a Fortune 500 company or stay at home mom or dad. We need to know how to take care of our money. So
okay, and so do you actually have them? Do you give them like a 1040? Like, do you? Do you tell them? Do their taxes?
Well, we talk about, yes, we go through like what are mandatory deductions from your paycheck, and we talk about how you file their taxes. My first couple of years, I actually did have them do a 1040 easy, and we talk about that. You know what. Are what's needed, but they see that's my favorite thing is to show them a pay stub where, you know, if they were making $20 an hour for, you know, 10 hours, they think they have $200, and you see all the money that's come out and they're like, whoa. It's like, yeah, so we talk about, they understand what's coming out of their paycheck, what they have to pay, where it goes, and how to properly file taxes. Yeah.
And that very first job whenever you sit down to, and your employer gives you a W-2 and you are like, you don't want to ask your brand new supervisor, I don't know how to fill this out, right? So do you teach them that too?
We do. We talk about forms like, and it is great. Like you mentioned earlier, I have sophomore juniors and seniors. So a lot of them are getting their first full-time job. So things like an I-9, the statement proving that you're eligible to work in the United States. It's like we talk about, this is why you filled out this form and had to either provide your passport for them to make a copy of, or your driver's license and birth certificate. We talk about a big thing is a W-4. So they, you know, if someone's doing payroll, to make sure that they have enough tax withheld. Now, most students won't make enough to have to pay taxes federally in a year, but if you have someone that really does work a lot and they don't withhold anything, they, you know, that could be a mistake. So,
That your parents have to pay for at that point, right? Because they're probably still on their parents' taxes. Got it.
yep.
Yep. On a more serious note, do your students ever ask you questions about economic inequality? Are they aware of things going on in this country when it comes to, you know, that?
They are. And I think Worthington's a pretty special place in that we have, socioeconomically, we have a wide range. So students see that and they are aware of it. So in answer to your question, yes, they are there. And I think they're a lot more aware of those types of things than I was when I was in high school, for sure.
Yeah, that was my next question, actually. Would you say students now are more financially literate than when you were at this age?
Yes. And it's great in one sense in that they're really excited and they want to talk about this stock or that stock. But there is, you know, kind of getting to the gambling. There's with the ability to trade stocks and things like that, you can talk, some kids will talk about day trading. And then I have to emphasize that's not investing, that is gambling. So yeah, it's they are much more savvy. There's so much more information that's available to them, more current information. A lot of them want to they want to talk about crypto. And to be honest, like I haven't built
You
anything
were like, I
into
don't
the
want to talk
class.
about crypto. Yeah. Yeah.
Now, as a teacher and as an educator, I need to learn more about it, and because, like the gambling issue, there may come a time where it is really pertinent. We need to talk about it. We need to put it in there. So, but
Yeah.
yeah, it's they are really, and one of the best things is when I have guest speakers in, the guest speakers are really impressed with how astute the students' questions are, that they really, that they understand things, you know, more than I did when I was a high school student, for sure.
Yeah, I would start with guest speakers on crypto, and then you can learn about through them. Yeah, there you go.
For sure. For sure.
So the state requires this financial literacy course. Do they provide the curriculum? Do they tell you what to teach, or do you have some freedom?
They have a list of standards that you need to satisfy all of them. They've actually added some this year, the emphasis on free market capitalism and how important that is to free markets. So yes, there's a list of standards that we have to satisfy. But there is some leeway to be able to put some other things in there, or you know, if they don't give us the curriculum or the materials, if it's up to us to be able to satisfy the standards.
Do you give homework assignments? Do you have your students go home and maybe ask their parents some questions or try to learn a few things?
For sure. I think one of my favorite things we just got done with is it's called the Real World Budgeting Project. So I give all the students get the average first year salary of a college graduate, which is $58,800. I take 37% for taxes. So federal, state, local, Social Security, Medicaid, and their health insurance is covered in that 37%. And with what's left over, which is just about $3,100, they have to find an apartment or a place to live that they, you know, what we say they have $5,000 saved for a down payment on a condo if they want. But most of them rent apartments. They have to find a car to drive. They have to, we walk through, once you have your car to drive, I take the whole class and we do a insurance quote. They have to pay off a $40,000 student loan over 10 years and pick which payment plan that they want. So during that project, and they have to feed themselves. So I encourage them to go home and ask their parents. And a lot of them were stunned by how much things like food cost. They had X amount, like a couple hundred dollars budgeted. There's one student, you know, a good sized boy. He had $55 for eating out. Now he had a grocery bill on top of it for the whole month. And I said, that's three trips to Chipotle for you. You do that in a week. And he said when he went home and asked his parents what food costs, that really blew him away. So yes, and I have had parents come up to me at conferences going, yeah, my kids have asked me how much money we have in our 401k. So sometimes kids get a little nosy, so
Well, yeah, I mean, that's important to know. If your parents aren't
it
set up,
is
then it's the kid's problem in the future. So, you know,
exactly.
it's a good question to ask. Well, I appreciate you taking the time to explain that today. We've been talking with Jason Savage, who teaches business classes at Thomas Worthington High School. Thank you so much for your time today, Jason.
Thanks, Amy. Appreciate it.
And you're listening to All Sides on 89.7 NPR News. I'm Amy Jurevich. If you missed any part of today's show or any show, you can listen at our website, wosu.org/allsides, or subscribe to the podcast. Every episode is free in the WOSU mobile app. And be sure to like our show on Facebook, and you can follow us on Instagram as well. This is All Sides on 89.7 NPR News.